Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the 3M Fourth Quarter Earnings Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. It is recommended that you use a landline phone if you are going to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, January 26, 2012. I would now like to turn the call over to Matt Ginter, Vice President of Investor Relations at 3M.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter business review. With me today are George Buckley, 3M Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer, Inge Thulin, Chief Operating Officer, and David Meline, Chief Financial Officer. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on slide 2. During today's conference call, we'll make certain predictive statements that reflect our current views about our future performance and financial results. We base these statements on certain assumptions and expectations of future events that are subject to risks and uncertainties. Item 1A of our most recent Form 10-K and 10-Q lists some of the most important risk factors that could cause actual results to differ from our predictions. Let's begin today's review, and I'll turn the program over to David.
Thanks, Matt, and good morning, everyone. Please turn to slide number 3. First, a brief summary of the fourth quarter, which I felt was a good finish to the year. We drove record sales and good returns, and things finished largely as expected. We once again saw some real strength in our many industrial-oriented businesses, along with steady growth in consumer and healthcare. On a geographic basis, Latin America and the United States were the fourth quarter stalwarts. The consumer electronics industry continued to adjust production levels during the quarter to better match demand and supply. Much as we had described in our third quarter call in October and again at our December investor meeting in New York. This had an impact on our display and graphics and electro and communication businesses, particularly within Asia Pacific. The flooding in Thailand hurt fourth quarter sales by an estimated $35 million and an operating profit impact of $20 million, which was in line with our estimates. On the positive side, we recorded $23 million in insurance recoveries related to last year's earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Therefore, from a profit standpoint, these two items largely offset one another. We once again drove strong double-digit growth in Central Eastern Europe and the Middle East, which more than offset weakness in the West. We have yet to see significant signs of recovery in Western Europe. Inge will talk more about our businesses in just a minute. Income rose 5% year-on-year, and operating margins finished at 19.2%. Free cash flow was $1.2 billion, and we converted 128% of net income to cash, a good result and typical for a fourth quarter at 3M. So the business continues to generate significant profit and cash flow. Finally, in early January, we announced the acquisition of Avery Dennison's office and consumer products business. Inge will describe this in more detail in a moment. Let's take a closer look at sales for the quarter. So please go to slide number 4. Quarterly sales were $7.1 billion, up nearly 6% year-on-year. The combined Latin America-Canada region was up a strong 10%, with organic growth more than offsetting nearly 4 points of negative currency. The United States also had an excellent quarter with 7% organic growth. U.S. organic volumes have now grown for several quarters consecutively. Sales in Asia Pacific rose 3% in the quarter, slower than we have seen in recent quarters. Part of this, of course, was due to consumer electronics, where the market continued to seek bottom. We expect the market to turn positive sometime in the second quarter. Clearly, China was also a factor in the fourth quarter, as the Chinese government successfully slowed activity to stem inflation. Our China team anticipates continued below-trend growth in the first half of 2012, with stronger growth returning in the second half. Europe rose 4%, with strength in Middle East Africa and Central East Europe more than offsetting weakness in Western Europe. Selling prices rose 2% in the quarter, which exceeded raw material inflation, and for the full year, the net impact was neutral. Acquisitions added 2.3% to sales in the quarter, and foreign exchange impacts were basically flat. Please turn to slide five for a more detailed look at our income statement for the quarter. During this period of slower economic growth, we are paying increased attention to protect the bottom line. For example, we have implemented hiring freezes in developed countries, and replacements are being limited to key positions that are typically closest to the customers. Our businesses have also triggered contingency plans with respect to indirect costs. These costs total over $4 billion in annual spending for the company. The early results were encouraging, as fourth quarter indirect spending was down, both year-on-year and sequentially. So we are getting some traction here. In the fourth quarter, sales rose 6%, gross profit increased 4%, and both operating income and earnings per share rose 5%. Operating margins were 19.2%. Volume growth added 0.2% to fourth quarter operating margins. Selling price changes, net of raw material inflation, added 0.8 percentage points, and other productivity contributed 0.3%. Higher year-on-year pension and OPEB expense hurt margins by 1%, and foreign exchange was a 0.5% headwind in the quarter. SG&A increased 5% in the quarter, and R&D costs were down slightly. Recall that in the fourth quarter of 2010, we accelerated the investments to bring forward a number of 2011 growth programs. Given current economic realities, we chose not to repeat this in the fourth quarter of 2011. Earnings for the quarter were $1.35 per share, up 5% versus last year's fourth quarter. The tax rate was 26.7% in the quarter versus 25.3% last year, which reduced earnings by 3 cents per share. Conversely, a lower share count added 4 cents a share of benefit in the quarter. Please turn to slide number 6. Free cash flow for the quarter was $1.2 billion, up $116 million versus last year's fourth quarter. Income was, of course, up year-on-year, and working capital was a net year-on-year benefit in the fourth quarter. CapEx investment was $517 million, consistent with prior year levels. Full-year CapEx was $1.4 billion, which was within our original expected range. During the fourth quarter, we converted 128% of net income to free cash flow. We contributed $209 million to our pension and OPEB plans in the quarter, which lowered the conversion rate by 22 percentage points. Note at the bottom of this slide, we intend to contribute $800 million to $1 billion to our pension and OPEB plans in 2012 versus the $600 million that we contributed in 2011. Of the 2012 contribution, $600 million will occur over the first two quarters compared to $125 million in the first half of 2011. As a result, free cash flow conversion rates will be lower than historical trends in the first half. We paid $384 million in cash dividends in the quarter, and gross share repurchases were $494 million. Our strong balance sheet enables us to return significant cash to shareholders and, importantly, to continue growing the business through economic ups and downs. Now Inga will address the fourth quarter performance of our business segments. Please go to slide number 7.
Thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to report that our businesses have responded well to the current economic environment. and that was evident in our fourth quarter results. Let's take a closer look at each business, starting with industrial and transportation. This business posted outstanding growth in the fourth quarter. Sales grew 14% to $2.4 billion. All businesses within industrial expanded their sales with double-digit increases in most businesses. All geographic regions drove double-digit sales growth, with Asia-Pacific up 17%, the United States up 15%, Europe up 12%, and Latin America, Canada up 10%. Organic local currency growth was 8% in the quarter, an impressive result. Acquisitions added another 6% to growth, the two largest being Winterthur and Alfa Beta. Winterthur is a Swiss-based, technology-rich addition to our abrasives business, specifically in hard-to-grind precision applications. Alfa Beta is a Taiwanese tape manufacturer that strengthens our offerings in B and C product lines. Both acquisitions are tracking very well versus our expectations. Profits grew by 14% to $472 million. Operating margins were 19.6%, basically flat year on year, as the team drove strong productivity to offset the 50 basis point headwind from acquisitions. Also, including in industrial's profit for the quarter, was $20 million of insurance recoveries related to the Japanese earthquake and tsunami. All in all, this was another solid performance for industrial and transportation business. Let's now look at healthcare. Sales grew 5% to $1.3 billion. All businesses within healthcare grew their sales, with infection prevention and skin and wound care leading the way. Healthcare sales increased across all regions, with Asia-Pacific up 11%, Latin America, Canada up 10%, the United States up 5%, and Europe up 2%. Operating income in healthcare increased 12% to $389 million, and margins were 30.8%. Healthcare continues to gain recognition for innovation. For example, 3MSP was recently named the most innovative dental company for the seventh consecutive year. Our healthcare team continues to exemplify innovation for 3M. The healthcare industry has its challenges, to be sure, austerity in West Europe, for example. But our business continues to deliver excellent results. Now, let's go on to safety, security, and protection services business. Sales rose by 9% to $927 million, all of which was organic. We drove double-digit growth in security systems and in personal safety products during the quarter, along with single-digit growth in building and commercial services. Sales declined in the roofing granules business due to channel inventory corrections in the United States. Looking geographically, sales rose 18% in the United States, 17% in Latin America, Canada, and 13% in Asia Pacific. In Europe, sales declined 4%. On the innovation front, this business for the first time ever exceeded $1 billion in new product sales in 2011. Operating profit increased 4% to $171 million, and operating margins were 18.5% in the quarter. Let's now look at our display and graphics segment. Sales were $823 million, a 9% decline year-on-year. Optical film sales in total fell 17% in the quarter, which was all LCD TV related. Films for battery-powered devices continued to grow nicely. This includes tablets, smartphones, and notebooks. Elsewhere in display and graphics, sales grew in both commercial graphics and in architectural markets. Sales declined in traffic safety systems as government highway funding remains weak, particularly in the United States and in Western Europe. On a regional basis, sales declined 1% in the United States and Latin America, Canada, 10% in Europe, and 12% in Asia Pacific. Profits in display and graphics rose 10% in the quarter as the team drove outstanding productivity. operating margins increased over 3 points to 19.2%. Moving to Electro and Communications. Sales were $768 million, down 3%, and profits declined 7% to $153 million. Margins for the quarter were very close to 20%. Growth was again led by electrical markets business, and sales were flat year-on-year in telecommunications. Sales in our electronics-related businesses declined high single digits, reflecting ongoing production adjustments across much of the industry. We expect these adjustments will continue until inventories are back in line with demand. On a geographic basis, sales increased 6% in Latin America, Canada, 5% in the United States, and 2% in Europe. Sales declined 9% in Asia Pacific, of course, heavily impacted by electronics. Finally, let's look at the consumer and office business. Sales topped $1 billion this quarter, a 6% increase year-on-year. Half of this growth was organic, with particular strength in our do-it-yourself, stationary products, office supplies, and home care businesses. We also added 3 points of growth to consumer and office this quarter via the recent acquisition of GPI Group. France-based GPI produces tapes, hooks, insulation and floor protection products, and is an excellent complement to our existing do-it-yourself business. It will help us quickly expand our presence in the European home improvement channels. On a geographic basis, sales growth was strongest in Europe at 15%, again boosted by GPI. Sales grew 11% in Asia Pacific, 9% in Latin America, and 1% in the United States. Operating income in consumer and office increased 2% to $179 million, and margins were 17.6%, diluted somewhat by the acquisition. If we back out GPI's results, underlying margins were 18.4%, up 20 basis points versus last year's fourth quarter. Please turn to slide number 8. We were very pleased to announce the acquisition of Avery's consumer and office products business earlier this month. As you know, Avery is a leader in this space with labels, binders, and other office products. We anticipate closing sometime during the second half of this year. The acquisition brings several strategic benefits. We gain immediate scale in the United States, as well as several valuable brands, including Avery, Highlighter, and Marks a Lot. As you might expect, we plan to bring much-needed innovation to the business, and, in the end, customer will benefit through better product, service, and value. The purchase price is $550 million cash. As you can see on the slide, the multiples are quite attractive at 0.7 times trailing sales and 5.7 times trailing EBITDA. We see potential to expand operating margins to around 20% in the out years. And we are very excited about this acquisition and look forward to bringing new values to our customers. Please turn to slide number 9. To summarize, 2011 was a good year for our company in a challenging environment. We grew sales 11% with double-digit performance in industrial and transportation, safety, security, and protection services, and healthcare. New products helped fuel growth, and we finished the year with 32% MPVI. Sales in developing economies rose 14% and now represent 34% of the company. We continue to generate premium operating margins, finishing 2011 at nearly 21%. Margin strength was broad-based with all businesses above 20% for the year. Earnings were $5.96 per share, an increase of 6%. We once again generated significant free cash flow of nearly $4 billion, and return on invested capital was 20%. This strong cash flow allowed us to return $4.3 billion to shareholders through a combination of dividends and share repurchases, up 81% versus 2010. So all in all, there's much to feel good about in 2011 results, and we are well positioned for success again this year. Please turn to slide 10, where I will summarize our forward outlook. While our plans for 2012 have firmed up since we last spoke with you, we still think it's appropriate to maintain maximum flexibility. We don't know precisely what the global economy will bring this year, so we are managing costs very carefully in the early stages. But maximum flexibility also means capitalizing on opportunities as they arise. The key here is to be ready to act quickly on those opportunities, no matter what they are. We know that in uncertain times, innovation is more important than ever. It differentiates great companies from the rest of the pack, so we will preserve key investment in R&D, sales and manufacturing to ensure future growth. We also know that emerging markets continue to present very promising platforms for growth in the future. Whatever challenges they present today pale in comparison to their opportunities. There is no better example than China, where near-term issues will not affect our investments for long-term success and growth. Sales in China grew 5% in the quarter and 13% ex-electronics, both clearly below trend. This is a result of several factors. First, the China government is successfully cooling the economy to managing inflation. As David mentioned earlier, our China team anticipate that stronger growth will return in the second half of the year. Second, China's prominence in consumer electronics contributed to our lower growth rate in Q4, and we also expect that to return upward sometime in the middle of the year. Thirdly, the soft economies in Western Europe, for example, continue to affect export, and it's difficult to gauge exactly when conditions might improve. Overall, we agree with the consensus view that China growth will become more robust as 2012 goes on. But the main point I want to make is this: any temporary troubles are trumped by the magnitude of the China opportunity, and we will continue to invest to create and realize opportunities there. And the same is true for all developing countries. At our December meeting in New York, we described our financial expectation for 2012. Our outlook has not changed since then, so today we reaffirm those expectations. We expect that full year 2012 earnings per share will be in the range of $6.25 to $6.50. Including in this range is an estimated 9 cents per share year-on-year increase in pension and post-retirement benefit expense. We are estimating organic volume growth between 2 and 5% for the year. We expect that operating margins will be between 21 and 22.5%, with the lower end largely a function of potential one-time costs on acquisitions that might be completed later in the year. This is purely a planning assumption at this point. Finally, we continue to expect a tax rate of 29.5% in 2012. Sales and profit growth will be challenging in the first half of 2012. It is our view that first quarter economic growth will be low and will improve as the year progresses. Underlying these estimates are several factors. Europe, of course, is contracting at the moment. Again, consumer electronics will be tough in early 2012, and we expect to see recovery around mid-year. Optical, in particular, will have its toughest comparison in the first quarter. Finally, we expect to incur a cost of 4 cents per share in the first quarter related to a voluntary retirement incentive program in the United States, along with some selective restructuring in a few mature countries. These actions, in aggregate, will be neutral for the full year 2012 earnings, with the cost incurred in Q1 and associated benefits realized over the remainder of the year. That concludes our formal comments today. Now we'll be happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question using a landline phone, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. You'll hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. Please limit your participation to 1 question and 1 follow-up. One moment, please, while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of A.J. Kedriwal from FBR Capital Markets. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning. So just maybe to start with on the display graphics, margins holding steady at the 19% level despite the top line. And I know you talked about the first quarter inventory challenges, but maybe if you could talk about, you know, what margins could look like next year if, you know, optical remained at the current level. I know first quarter there are challenges, but if things come back in the second half, how would margins look like?
Sure, Ajay. So this is David Moline. First of all, I think to interpret the margin performance in Q4, what you need to think about is the fact that unlike last year in Q4, where we had quite a downtake in our margins, this year we've been facing into what were known headwinds for the business throughout the year. So they've been adjusting their cost base through the year and really, you know, operating in a much tougher environment. And therefore, even though in Q4 our utilization in the factories was similar this year to last, the margins were much better because we have a better cost base we put in place. If we look forward into 2012, we think that optical systems is going to remain under pressure, in particular due to the price environment in the LCD TV business. And we think that the optical business will run closer to the company average, and we think D&G as a sector will be a little bit below where they were in terms of margins in 2011.
Good. And then maybe on the cost saving and restructuring initiatives, you talked about the $4 billion in indirect costs. You obviously have some initiatives already in place. Could you maybe talk about what whether you're done with the actions that you wanted to put in place for the cost savings, or there is more to be done?
First of all, indirect cost at 3M, this is a broad definition of cost. So this includes basically all of our costs with the exception of material inputs and our people costs, compensation and benefits. So broad definition, we were pleased in terms of how we've managed down those costs in a tougher environment. So if you look at discretionary spending like external costs that we for consultants, this type of thing, if you look at travel expenses, if you look at other discretionary items, we've managed that down in obviously a tougher environment for the company. And we expect that to continue in a similar fashion, certainly through the first half and probably through the entire year, depending on how the year develops. So in terms of additional actions, I would say I think you're seeing the kind of environment right now and performance that will continue into 2012.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Deane Dray from Citi Investment Research. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Hey, I might have missed this. Is George on the call this morning?
He is.
Okay, because my question relates to, it's a delicate topic, but management succession. And maybe this is more appropriately directed to 3M's board, but I'm surprised there hasn't been more clarity about succession plans at 3M. And if you compare the big industrials, UTX, GE, always have these well-signaled transitions. And it's been really, frankly, ambiguous at 3M. So does the board not consider this to be a priority? And what comments can you share with us this morning?
Well, Dean, you know, obviously they do consider it a priority. It's obviously must be one of the most important things on their mind. But I think, you know, they're trying to figure out what is the best way forward. And, you know, we've got a board meeting coming up I'm sure they'll be considering it at that, and when the appropriate time comes, they'll be letting people know what their decision is. And I don't think there's much else I can say about it, because in a sense I'm the informed, not the informer, if you know what I mean.
George, I really appreciate that. I know it's a delicate question, but I just wanted to put it out there that from our perspective, it's been ambiguous, and we'll leave it there. And then in terms of the quarter, I'm trying to reconcile a comment earlier that innovation is important, focusing on new product development is important, but still you've chosen not to invest in R&D in the quarter compared to the spending a year ago. So what's the trade-off that you're making today and holding back on what might be incremental growth investments?
Yeah, Dean, I guess what I would say is that we think that the investment that we've got in place, including in Q4, is certainly perfectly adequate and a very strong level of R&D commitment that the company has. So don't misinterpret what we're showing in Q4 as being us changing our view on the importance to 3M's business model of a very strong R&D investment trend. But obviously, R&D, just like the rest of the areas, as we get into a tougher cost management environment, we've had to temporarily defer some of the things that we'd like to do. We've had to hold down spending, just like the rest of the company. But what I can assure you of is we're not throwing overboard important and good opportunities for the business.
And just last one for me is, I know you're not in the quarterly guidance business, but just based upon commentary, it doesn't sound like you're expecting to show EPS growth in the first quarter. Is that fair?
In terms of EPS growth in the first quarter, if you look, first of all, at the overall business for the year, what we've said is that we're driving to improve our margins by about a point for the year. And we expect 2-5% organic growth. Obviously, toughest in the first half and in the first quarter. So I think it would be fair to say that we could see a level of performance that would be carryover, or even considering this $40 million of items we've got in the first quarter, it could even be a little bit below last year.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Steven Winoker of Sanford Bernstein. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning. Thank you. Just want to get a sense for, well, quickly first, that insurance recovery, which I think is like 2 to 2.5 cents per share or so, it sounded like. Is that it, or is there more coming?
Yeah, Steve. So that's right. It's $23 million in total, so a little over 2 cents a share in the fourth quarter. We do have more claims that are in and under discussion, and we're very confident that we'll get some more recoveries beyond that. What we don't know is, will those recoveries occur now in 2012 or sometime beyond that in 2013? So, but yes, the answer is we expect some more.
Okay, but it sounds like certainly not in the first half of the year, right? These are longer-term recoveries now.
I can't say first half, second half. What's true is, I think importantly, we expect to get some recoveries, but we don't have that explicitly built into the plan right now.
Okay, and that 6 cents of Avery Dennison dilution, is that is baked into your 625 to 650 guidance?
No, it's not.
Okay, so that's in addition. That would be. Okay,
that would impact, and obviously depending on when it occurs, will also have the positive impact of the underlying performance of the business. So we want to leave that out until we get a better visibility on the timing of the closing.
Okay, and then on pricing, so look, 200 basis points with significant move up in several of the businesses, and sounds familiar to the 09 experience where you really were able to drive pricing to hold margins and drive margins. How should we think about this time relative to that time? What's different, sustainability, any particular areas that you would call out would be helpful?
In terms of pricing, to be honest, you're right. We've had to push hard in this environment, particularly driven by the kind of cost inflation that we saw in 2011. As we mentioned in December, we do expect to see, you know, certainly more modest, but in certain commodities, we expect some cost pressure on us again in 2012. So that's, you know, that's part of our planning. But we don't see any reason why, as was the case in 2009, that we can't hold on to our price. If you look at, you know, the business model, it's very much driven by innovation and having fresh product that's attractive to our customers, and therefore our experience is typically we can hold price once we put that through.
Right. So this is not, you know, this is still more a function of material and commodity-driven escalators as opposed to new products and mix?
Yeah, I would say, well, we always have new products, which enables us to hold price and hold margin, right? So
right.
In some way, that's in the base. And then the type of extraordinary pricing push we put on, including now we're seeing the real benefits of it in Q4, is certainly we work to offset the raw material cost inflation.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Shannon O'Callaghan from Nomura Securities. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, when you think about these dynamics in, you know, China, consumer electronics, Europe, putting price aside and just looking at kind of core volume growth, right, it was up, you know, 1.3 in the quarter. These pressures in the first half, are they incremental pressure on top of what you're already seeing? I mean, are core volumes going to get tougher before they get better? Maybe how to calibrate a little bit how this plays out as we enter 12.
Yeah, so if you look at, and we can talk about segments, but if you look at the overall volume trend, what we observed in Q4 was very similar in total to what we saw in Q3. And so our perception right now as a on a total overall basis is that we found the bottom across the various areas where we're seeing pressure, that being Western Europe, that being in the consumer electronics business. We do think that we will continue at this lower level of activity, as we said, through the first quarter and through the first half of the year at some level. So I guess what I would leave you with is our sense right now is that we are stabilizing here on an overall basis, and barring an economic crisis, which we don't have in our plans, we would say eventually the next step would be a level of recovery for the business.
Okay, thanks. And then just, you know, on this Avery deal, you know, kind of interesting. I mean, the deals you guys have done recently have been sort of growthier, I guess I would say. And I know this is trying to, you know, reinvent a category revitalize a category, I guess. But it's, you know, it's a lower multiple, more kind of cost synergy related type deal. I mean, might we see more of those types of deals versus sort of more growth oriented acquisitions?
Well, you know, this is Inge. Acquisitions will come in many shapes and forms, and maybe this could be viewed as slightly different than the ones we have done before. However, this in this business, scales matter, and this is very important for us in order to be able to build out the our position in that market. So this, we believe that this is very good because we will be able to add innovation to that business. We will be able to streamline our supply chain, meaning we will be able to give better services. And I think overall this is good for our customers and also for the shareholders, of course. So I think generally speaking that it's slightly different. It's very much U.S.-based, but in this business, scales matter, and we will be able to add a lot of value to our customers. We will also, with this business, be able to expand outside of the United States. So we think overall this is a good addition to our consumer and office business, and it's a core for 3M. We know how to do this, and have done it very well in the past.
Yeah, no, I agree. It looks good. I was just curious in terms of your pipeline of deals. Are there more things like this where it's sort of a you know, a lower price deal, but where you can add scale to something you already have versus maybe expanding into some, you know, new growthier areas that you're not currently directly in.
Yeah, if I could, Shannon. What I take away from this that we haven't changed our approach in terms of the pipeline. We're still interested in not only deals like this that add scale and leverage, but importantly, we think that to continue to have a chance to grow the business as we foresee doing, that we're also looking and will continue to look at transactions that involve businesses that might help our growth rate.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, please limit your participation questions to one question and one follow-up. Our next question comes from the line of John McNulty from Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, this is Abhi Rajendran calling in for John. Could you talk a little bit about your expectations for the linearity of volumes through the course of 2012? Are you expecting an incremental pickup through the course of the year, or is there a bigger step up baked in for the second half potentially?
Yeah, so what I would say is if you look at the volume trend, just like the outlook for the economy, we do see a rising volume trend in the second half, which would be a combination of both the way the economy is developing. If you look at Western Europe, Global Insight, for example, is calling for positive economic growth by the fourth quarter. If you look at the electronics business, which is impacting us, that obviously has some very dynamic features to a correction, which are a very hard and fast trend down, and typically a recovery also looks like that, which is a pretty vertical recovery. So depending on the segment, I think it's fair to say that we would expect to see some acceleration in the second half. And the other element of that, which we've talked about in the past, is if you look at the inventory cycle, that's a very relevant impact on our business. So if you look at our reported volume in Q4, it was about 1%, but we believe that if you adjust for inventory, it would have been closer to 5%. So if you think about that inventory cycle, we expect that too would then be reversing as we move through 2012.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for the color. And just a quick follow-up. Excluding the acquisition effect, margins in consumer and office were basically flattish year over year despite the top-line growth. Was this driven by some heightened spending, or was there any other factor driving this? And also, how are you thinking about margins in 2012, including the potential addition of Avery's business?
Yeah, so you got it right, which is that if you look at the margin year over year, it was down, but excluding the acquisition, it was flat to up a little bit. We do expect it. It's a tough consumer environment out there right now, in particular in the mature markets where we have the biggest presence. So what we expect is that kind of a tough environment will continue. And if I think about 2012 margins in consumer, I expect they'll be pretty flat with 2011.
And Abhi, just to reiterate, yep. You asked about Avery. Any impacts from Avery are not in our guidance at this point in time. So as we get closer to close, we'll provide some more insight there.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Scott Davis of Barclays Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Wanted to go back to Avery and see if we can dig in a little bit more details. I mean, a couple questions. I mean, when I look at the initial guidance, it seems relatively conservative, at least at the back of an envelope. I would imagine there's some dual capacity and dual warehousing and stuff that would be fairly easy to take out, so I'd love to get your view there. Second, are there any limitations on what you can do with the brand, given that, you know, Avery Dennison does still exist as a company? Are there any limitations as far as how far you can, you know, whether you could expand this brand out in other SKUs?
Yeah, you know, we are just in the due diligence relative to what we can do as we move ahead. So I think one thing is we have been be careful in terms of any comments due to regulatory we are under at this point in time. As we have looked upon it, we believe that in that specific market around office supplies, that we can capitalize on those brands and be able to build it out. Of course, in terms of cost synergies, we expect quite a bit that we'll be able to do, and that will be a good benefit for us, both in terms of manufacturing and supply and how we go to market. So we believe there are strong brands that we'll be able to capitalize on. There is a very good commercialization machine in 3M today that will be able to take those products and commercialize them in a more effective way and in a more cost-effective way. And then, of course, the whole supply chain will be streamlined as we go ahead.
So are there limitations with what you can do with the brand? I guess that wasn't clear.
No, there is no limitation on what you can do with the brand.
Okay, great. Second question is just related to R&D. And, you know, I think if you take a look back at the last 20 years or so at 3M, there's been varying levels of spend, mostly around that 5% of sales level, but varying levels above and beyond, give or take 100 basis points. Has there been any analysis done into kind of what is the optimal rate? I mean, what is the rate where you are able to outgrow peers, hold on to your margins, earn an appropriate return for shareholders? I mean, I'm just curious to see if there's been a real analysis of that, or if there's any way to really measure that, the ideal spend.
Hey, Scott, it's George here. Maybe I'll take a crack at that for you. We have, in fact, done some of what you suggest. You know, there's always this question that hangs over the effectiveness of R&D, and I'd like to make two or three points. You know, R&D spend goes up and down depending on what we may have some external projects that we fund. So you shouldn't really imagine that R&D spend would be perfectly flat all the way through the year, or for that fact, monotonically increasing every year. So there's that kind of variability mixed into the equation. But coming back to your point about the effectiveness of R&D, it's quite interesting that we really don't spend anything more in terms of as a percent of sales. If you take out the pharmaceutical business, when I first came to the company, we picked up spend, and it sort of flattened, and we've kept it in that similar sort of percentage of sales number all of the intervening years. But what has happened is this new product vitality index, especially in the core, has somewhere between doubled and tripled. So the effectiveness of R&D has become very, very strong. And it's a big, as David said earlier, what a lot of people perhaps overlook is the impact of these inventory corrections in the second half of our results from last year. The underlying growth is still very, very strong, and we expect it to continue. So, whether anybody could ever answer the question, what's the optimum spend? But if you speculate in your mind, and you look forward at the plans that we have for driving this MPVI, and the kind of way we think about it is we separate this Class 3, which is kind of replacement stuff, as offsetting natural attrition and the balance of that. So today, this year the number will be about 32 for the year, net 15 in the sort of replacement, 17 in new products. You can kind of just get a rough idea of the growth rate, which is underlying, by just dividing that. It's not absolutely accurate, but just by dividing the 32 minus 15 equals 17, divide by 5 gets you 3.4. So you know that that's what's the underlying growth in the company. Now, where would it be the right thing to do? I think we think right now we can see our way to around 40%, and that's what we need to get to that underlying organic growth rate that Pat and I talked about what seems like all those many years ago. So I think it's in that range, and the interesting thing then will be where should spend go? Can we flatten it out? Can we reinvest? Should we hold the investment at that level and the growth rate at that level? That's a ways away, but I think the observation we can make is the impact of R&D and the efficiency of R&D has just gone up tremendously in 3M in these intervening years, and that's probably the thing we ought to focus on.
That's very helpful. Thanks, guys. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jeff Sprague of Vertical Research Partners. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm just wondering if we could dig a little further into display and graphics and just a couple of questions. First, can you just ground us on where you ended 11 on your mix and optical between, you know, however you have it, but I'm thinking kind of TV, battery devices, and other, just thinking about kind of that crossover point.
Sure, Jeff. So if you look at the mix overall, first for the calendar year 11, it was 53% battery and 47 plug-in. If you look at the mix in the fourth quarter specifically, it had risen to 58% battery and 42% plug-in. So, and as we talked about, going to somewhere two-thirds to three-fourths battery next year. So very much on that trend line that we laid out in December.
And that's a revenue number.
That is revenue.
And can you tell us where you ended the year on attachment rates for LCD TV?
Yeah, we were in the fourth quarter, we were running at about 20%. And we think next year, in our plans, we're expecting attached to run between 15 and 20%.
Okay, and just one other detail question, and I'll pass it on. Commercial graphics and architecture, you pointed to that. Do you discern any particular turn or pickup in commercial construction activity? Was there something unusual going on there? Just any color on that nuance in the segment?
Yeah. Well, commercial graphics is broad-based, as you know, in terms of both personalization and corporate identity programs, and that's going very well, and we are expanding very well in that area specifically. Architectural is a new business, a new investment for us, where we make very good inroad, which means that despite our construction is doing overall, we are able to go into that market and take market share and build our businesses. But interesting for us is that commercial graphics is often a business that will give an early indicator of down or upturn in the economy. And we have not seen a downturn in that. In fact, we're doing very, very well. I think one of the reasons is this new personalization program that has been introduced, which was one of them when we talked earlier. David made a comment earlier of some investment that we did in the end of the year 2010 in terms of accelerated programs. Two of the programs that was done there, one was in personalization for commercial graphics, and the other one was around labels. So I see now that those programs are really taking off for us, and we have really some good momentum going there. So that is the perspective on commercial graphics specifically. So there was early investment, and it's paying off now all over the world, actually, as those programs start now to roll out in commercial graphics specifically on the personalization side.
Great. I'll pass the baton. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Terry Darling of Goldman Sachs. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning.
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 Dave, wondering if we could talk a little bit more about the nice improvement in pricing again. And I think in the past, sometimes you've given us a breakdown between the electronics businesses and the others. If that's not available, I'm wondering if you can talk about which segments maybe benefited the most on a sequential basis from that improvement.
Right. So in terms of pricing, yeah, I mean, as you observe, we were very pleased with the results. We've been working on this, obviously, through the year. And to see the 2% number print for us in the fourth quarter was very encouraging. If you look at pricing in the quarter ex-electronics, that was actually 2.7%, so not atypical of the electronics business. We did have price down in particular in optical systems, which impacted us there. In terms of where we, you know, had the most significant price improvements, it was most in the areas where we had the most cost pressure, which was more on the industrial side of the business.
Okay, and do you have that breakout for 3Q any chance?
Which breakout, Terry?
Between electrical and non-electrical. I'm just trying to, the sequential improvement, was that just electrical getting less negative, or did the, you know, on the industrial side actually pick up significantly to drive that?
Now, Terry,
maybe
I think
a bit of both.
Terry, electronics, generally speaking, is about a 1 point impact on total price change for the company. So I don't think it changed that much, Q3 versus Q4.
Okay. And what is the price improvement assumption for 2012?
We've got 0 to 1 in terms of price in 2012.
Okay, that's helpful. And then, you know, on the strong healthcare margins in the fourth quarter, maybe backing up, David, I guess the question,
sure,
you know, is relative to where you guys were in December, as we think about your organic growth range for the year, you know, can you just refresh comments on, you know, segments above and below kind of the midpoint of that range, and has anything changed there?
This is on the volume discussion or on margins?
Yeah, just if we talk. Yeah, well, why don't we just talk about the volume discussion?
Volume. So if you think about the ranges that we provided in December for 2012, we don't see any reason to be thinking differently about those trends as we finish, you know, Q4 and move into the first half. Obviously, while you know those trends indicate a full year figures. We're certainly thinking, as I said earlier, that Q4 and Q1 are not going to look terribly different in terms of the volume momentum overall.
Okay,
thanks, Terry.
And sorry, just to come back.
Thanks. Terry, we've got a bunch of people in queue, so can I come back to you?
Sure.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of David Begleiter of Deutsche Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning,
David, could you, any views on China post the new year, any visibility yet into your order patterns or order books in that region?
Yeah, this is Inge. What we see, as I laid out earlier, you know, there's three things that affected the growth in Q4, and I think most of what was built up for the Chinese New Year came in Q4, and we have seen a little bit of uptick here in the beginning. But it's too early in this quarter to talk about the orders inflow in China and the impact for the quarter. But, you know, I think the three things, as I said earlier, that made the result for China was the successful execution of the government to slow the economy in order to manage inflation. Is clearly the economic environment overly in terms of export going over to Europe and United States, but specifically to Europe, as that now stands for 19% of the export out of China. And then the prominence in the electronic industry also made that there was a little bit of slowdown. But as both David and myself and George talked about here earlier, we see all those three things type of moving up as the year progresses. But it looked like Q1 for China would be very similar to Q4 as it looked like now.
And just lastly, on raw materials, we see a number of your chemical commodity prices come down, but you're still looking for raws to be up year over year. Where are you seeing or expecting to see inflation in raw materials in 2012?
The areas where we see it, some of our chemicals still are experiencing some level of inflation. Resins as well, rubber, and rare earth materials are the most prominent areas of cost pressure for us.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Steve Tusa of J.P. Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Just a question on healthcare. Very strong margin there, and sequentially, I think revenues were flat, but the profits were up. What's going on there? Is there a mix issue or, you know, something else? And what's the longer-term view on healthcare margin?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the fact is healthcare, just like the rest of the business, we've gone into a fairly tough environment where we are marshaling our resources and really focusing on managing cost. So as we've talked about pretty consistently, We believe the sweet spot for the business is in the high 20s, but from quarter to quarter, you're going to see this thing move up and down a bit. So this quarter, we had about a point of pickup. Does that, again, signal that we've got a different view of healthcare going forward and their margins? I would say not at all. What's true is we're seeing very good performance in some of the sectors. So, for example, in infection prevention is having strong performance, skin and wound care as well, which is also, you know, helping the results.
Mm-hmm. What's your most positive margin bit, just, you know, directionally? What's your favorite, you know, business there, margin-wise?
Actually, healthcare's portfolio is all pretty profitable.
Gotcha. So no real bifurcation. One last question, just on the sequencing of the quarter. You know, we've heard a lot about November maybe being a little bit weak. You guys seem a little bit better on your the tone of the economy. You know, did you see anything change kind of second half of December or, you know, towards the end of the year, maybe into this year?
No, we didn't see any new inflection point. Obviously, we like the market was looking at 3M and looking for were we stabilizing, and we're pleased to see that occurred in Q4. But as I said earlier, we think now, unfortunately, we're in a fairly weak environment, at least through the first quarter.
I would like just to make one additional comment relative to healthcare, because I think there's a couple of elements there that is working very well and is overall based on the strategy for the company. First of all, in infection prevention, this Arisen acquisition that was done last year is playing out very, very well for us. And then in addition, we have introduced some new products here, specifically the new silicone tape that is making a big difference in the market. So many things in healthcare is going on in terms of both driving productivity in the commercialization part, but also the execution of the acquisition they have done and new product introduction, specifically then in wound and skin health. So I think that's all those elements is driving good margins for us.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Nigel Coe of Morgan Stanley. Please proceed with your question.
Oh, thanks. Good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to, one of the big, big headlines coming out of the CES show this year was the introduction of some OLED screens primarily in the TV market. How does the transition from LCD to OLED change the game for your films business?
Well, we see OLED, of course, coming on, and we don't have any big impact as we go into 2012. In fact, we see with some of the innovation that we are working on in our laboratories that there could be an advantage for us because the LED segment need to respond to it. So again, in that segment overall, the important thing is to have innovation so you can meet competitive threats. And for us, is for us to be able to provide our customers with alternatives. And there is a couple of very, very good programs going on that will help them to be able to defend their position. Overall, okay. In that segment, which is the same for, if you think about some of the display and graphics businesses, but also for electronic communication, is that's a very good space for us to be in due to the fact that's about technology innovation and cost out. And that is what 3M does very well, and both those businesses have very high MPVI. I think electronic communication is the highest in the company of over 42%, meaning as they now develop the new platforms for the future, we are there working with them because that is the future for us.
Okay. And then just to follow on, you know, George has talked a lot about inventory adjustments in the past, and you've obviously seen some pretty big inventory adjustments in electro and also in films. Can you just maybe describe what you're seeing as far as inventory reductions right now? Perhaps focusing in China and Europe, and which businesses are you seeing the most severe inventory adjustments?
Yeah, you know, I think that one thing we see that generally inventory levels have reset to healthy levels. And when you go in, as you talk specifically around film businesses for electronic communication and optical, they are now at 5 to 6 weeks in the channel. So When we talk to our customers and when we get the information from our own business heads here, its inventory levels have reset to a more healthy level.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Lawrence Alexander of Jefferies & Company. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning.
Morning.
Two quick questions on asset footprints. First, what kind of deceleration or deterioration in the longer-term growth rate in Europe would you need to see to significantly rationalize your European footprint? And secondly, George, over the years, you've made several remarks about the need to shift the business model towards more of a solutions mindset with a lot more information technology intensity. Do you think that that's something which, you know, the company needs to do more aggressively over the next few years in terms of larger scale M&A, or do you think it's capable, or do you think that's within 3M's own skill set?
Yeah, thanks, Lawrence. It's George here. You see the sort of trend. If you think about sort of what the has really affected your life in the last 10 years. I mean, there's all sorts of different things, but probably 70% of the impact on your life was electronics. And, you know, the things you carry in your bag, the things you have on your desk, and so on and so forth, communications. So I don't expect that pattern to change. There are some other supporting things that we don't have time now to go over. But what we've done is sort of gradually seed this into the company, and you'll see it in the makeup of the company's products, more and more electronics, more and more software-oriented businesses. I expect this pattern to continue. You know, whether I'd want to sort of recommend to anybody, to the board in particular, that we make a big, a very expensive software acquisition, because these things tend to be for us much more sort of engineering-oriented. We have a good group in the company already that does that. We'd expand that probably organically. So I don't expect to see any sort of big leapfrog acquisitions in software, Lawrence. On Europe, you know, Europe, generally speaking, as an area, has had lower growth than pretty much any of the other areas that we have in the world. These economic cycles come and they go. This one will be the same. I think there's been a trend in our company just progressively to push down, and really demand more productivity in Europe. That won't change. I don't think there's going to be any cataclysmic restructuring program in Europe. We'll just continue to drive it down. I mean, if just one last sort of comment, if you just think about attrition in its own right, you know, we attrit around 5% a year, so we can get some pretty good productivity out of that, notwithstanding having to put, you know, not all skills are fungible. So I think it's going to be largely attrition-driven and probably specific issues from time to time, you know, squeaky wheels that we oil, and that's probably about the way that we'll likely handle it.
Thank you.
And our last question comes from the line of John Roberts of Buckingham Research. Please proceed with your question.
George, I noticed on the display and graphics segment, you got actually a win with your new power over Ethernet film. does that drive your content back onto powered devices?
Well, very interesting. And you have to think that people are going to be very interested in this as a continued sort of push down on energy. The rate of adoption, obviously, we don't know. It's a new product. We'll have to see. But I think it's a product, and I suspect it'll drive up the content in particular in monitors and all-in-ones as we go forward. So I'm pretty optimistic and pretty upbeat about that. So I suspect, without me getting into the forecasting business on that one product line in that one segment, I think it's going to be a nice lift for the business as the year unfolds and more people adopt it.
Is it similar content per device as your optical film?
Similar charges per square meter, yes, and a few other bits and pieces, of course, that we get along with that sale through that innovation. So probably content will go up a little bit.
Thank you.
That concludes the question and answer portion of our conference call. I will now turn the call back over to 3M for some closing comments.
Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Good questions. And we'll look forward to talking to you as the year goes on.
Thanks, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.